All right. Well, this morning, like I said, Philemon only got one chapter, not even a chapter's worth. So don't be too confused when I just talk about verses. But I want to start this morning's message by telling you a little story about a young man. This young man, who wasn't a boy, who wasn't quite a man, hence young man, he was 16 years old, and he was kidnapped. He was taken from his parents' estate. Foreigners had raided his property and the area and took him and thousands of others back to their country as captive. If his parents at this time were still left alive, they may have worried that they'd ever see their son again. Well, I'm talking about the kidnapping of a young man named Patrick. He lived in Great Britain, or Britain, as it may have been known at that time. But he also lived for, and his subsequent years in captivity took place in a land called Ireland. You might consider what Patrick endured as indentured servitude or just plain slavery. We don't have a clear, reliable picture of his position and freedoms, but we do know that during his 6 years in captivity, he worked as a shepherd. And during that time, he had a deep sense of loneliness, isolation, solitude. He was off by himself, living out with the sheep. And during that time, in that foreign land, he drew near toward God. That situation brought him toward a faith in Christ, a faith in the God that he heard about but had never owned back in Britain. He became a Christian. He became a follower of Christ. Some of the most reliable information, that being the oldest writings, as we know from studying history and even biblical scholarship, they were actually written by Patrick himself. He wrote that he had heard the voice of God in a dream telling him that it was time to leave Ireland. So, after 6 years, he escaped. Today is March the 17th, and it is a day that many folks celebrate Irish heritage by wearing green clothes. In Chicago, quite a few stones thrown away from us, they dye the river green. Don't know if you know that. Can't imagine that's organic. And people eat traditional Irish meals. What do we say? I was going to say haggis. That's different. That's Scottish. Corned beef and cabbage, and some also drink stereotypical Irish alcohol. Don't you think it would be a little strange, however, to celebrate the memory of a person, the name of a person, who some of your ancestors captured and enslaved? Isn't that a bit weird? Stranger even, that you're having this celebration for a person that you're honoring right there, who fled and escaped that captivity. It really would be something strange to celebrate if that were the whole story. But thank God that it wasn't. All right, today we are actually going to finish Paul's letters that he wrote that the teens over this last school year have been studying. We have gone through Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and this is by no means all of Paul's letters, but just the five that were selected for study this year. And now today, Philemon. Now, I don't know about you, but I have learned quite a bit about the way Paul wrote and the people that he worked with. He still managed to lead and minister even behind bars. And we'll get back to the rest of Patrick's story later, but let's look at the story that we find in the book of Philemon, a story of three other men and their connection to each other and what God called them to do in light of a runaway slave. Let's look at verses 4 through 14. If you have your Bible and you want to follow along, that'd be awesome. Verses 4 through 14. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And we'll pick back up there in a few minutes at verse 15, but I just want to address these first couple passages here. So we start at verse 4 because, you know, we've heard the song and dance the first few verses. There's nothing wrong with looking it over, but to summarize it, Paul does his standard greeting. He addresses Philemon and the people who meet in his house church, and he writes a word of blessing to him from Jesus. And then Paul thanks God because of Philemon. He thanks him because of what he has done to support the sharing of the ministry, to support and love for the saints. Now, when Paul says saints, hold on, I know, we're talking about St. Patrick's Day, but hold on, you don't think of Catholic saints when you hear this word saints being used and translated here in the New Testament, because there wasn't such a thing. There wasn't even the process of granting sainthood to anyone for a long time later. This simply referred to as holy, the word that's being used here, it's just holy or holy ones, or rather, probably more clearly stated, the members of the first Christian communities. They were just referred to as that. Maybe you grew up in a church where somebody who was older was referred to by your parents as Saint so-and-so, or somebody who's gone on to see Jesus. Same story, you know? Members of the first Christian communities, it was a word that was used for them. And so Paul is encouraged by Philemon's love and faith. And he echoes that back to Philemon. Don't you love it when somebody goes, hey, I want to just tell you, You help me so much, and you encourage them. And so Paul echoes this back to Philemon. You, my brother, have refreshed the saints. Do you know how much you participate in the ministry? Here's what you do. It's so good. Thank you. So Paul begins by saying to Philemon, I know who you are, who you really are. You are an encouragement. You support the ministry. You are a partner in ministry. And I want to encourage you to share the faith. And then Paul comes to the crux of his letter, Philemon's runaway slave that returned to him and handed him this very letter that we're reading today. And this letter was from Paul. Let's look at verses 15 and 16 together. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. You see, after Onesimus had left Colossae, he came to know and serve Paul in the ministry. He became a Christ follower under Paul's teaching. Like the time frame for several of the other letters that we've studied together, Paul was a prisoner for the gospel. At least one of his imprisonments, we read, he was under house arrest, which would mean that he would need to rely on other people to supply for his needs, bring him company, relay his teachings, and deliver his letters. People like Onesimus. At a certain point, Paul decides that he must send Onesimus back to Philemon. But when Onesimus got back, it was Paul's desire and hope that the relationship would change between him and Philemon. Doing the unheard of, Onesimus would become like family, a dear brother. You know the expression, don't shoot the messenger? Yeah, it applies here. I need you to use your imagination. Now, maybe you need to dust it off. Maybe you're already using it. You're imagining your lunch. I don't know. But I need you to dust off your imagination for me and use it for just a few moments. I want you to think of someone who has badly hurt you. You're picturing them. Maybe you've tried to push them to the back of your mind, but you're picturing them. Somebody who's badly hurt you. Maybe they stole from you, cheated you, disgraced you in some way. Now imagine them walking up to you with a letter. They walk up to you and they hand you a letter. What do you do? Maybe you start to make a face, like they're coming at you. Physically tense up. Perhaps you take a few steps backward out of anger or fear. The aggravating person pleads with you, holding that letter, please, please, just read this. Please. Now I need you to think of someone whom you respect the most in this world. Someone whose character and honor you would defend without skipping a beat. You know them. Nobody's going to talk smack about them. You know them very well, and you will defend them to your dying breath. Think about that person. They're the ones who wrote this letter. They wrote this letter for you, and they have sent a person, this irritating person, to bring it back to you. And in that note, they ask you to forgive and welcome this irritating letter carrier into your good graces. I know this scenario, if you were following along with me, and I appreciate those who did, seemed far-fetched. That would never happen. That's kind of a funny little thought idea, right, Pastor Matt? But that, you know. But I really want you to consider what Philemon felt and went through when he saw Onesimus. The sudden shock of reading Paul's letter, the choice Philemon would have had to make. Would he live out his faith and welcome Onesimus as a brother, like Paul says? Would he actually do this? Or would he use his rights he had, to have Onesimus punished and to have him pay Philemon back, get paid back by Onesimus some way? He had a choice. We read in verses 17 through 19. So if you consider me a partner, Paul's saying this in the letter, if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. At this time, the one thing that I learned about the letter to Philemon is that Paul never says anything about Christ's death and resurrection. Doesn't that sound strange to you? It sounds strange to me. Paul does nothing in a lot of his other letters but teach and reinforce this point in words. So why wouldn't he state it like he's done every other place? He didn't do this. Catch this right here. If you don't catch anything, catch this right here. He didn't do it because he was living it out in this letter. He didn't need to express it in words because he was showing it lived out through what he was asking and what he was willing to do. It echoes back to 2 Corinthians 5:19a, where it says, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them. I say A because it's the first half of the verse, if you weren't familiar with that concept. And as we read in verse 18 and 19, Paul is taking on the consequences of Onesimus' wrongdoing. He does it so that the two men, Philemon and Onesimus, can be reconciled to each other. And in this scenario, he is putting himself in the place of Jesus. He lived out the message of reconciliation right here in this brief letter. Truth of the matter is, you can teach and preach the gospel all you want. Only when you live it out will the world truly believe. Let's look back to the story of Patrick. According to Patrick's own writing, the Confessio, after he escaped and returned to Great Britain, his parents, who were still alive, by the way, if you wondered, begged him never to leave them again. Patrick records that he had many visions and dreams in his life. One, the Irish were calling out to him to return and walk among them. And he wrote, "Thanks be to God, after many years, the Lord granted them what they were calling for." You see, after approximately 15 years of study, once he returned to Britain, he became commissioned back to Ireland to minister to the existing Christians and to convert the Irish pagans. It's curious why a former slave would decide to return to the land of his captivity. But this is where the celebration of St. Patrick's Day actually takes root. It became a day of celebrating Irish heritage, especially here in the United States, but also celebrating the one person who would come to bridge the gap for their very souls. Patrick, though he had been a slave, was actually more akin to Paul than Onesimus in this situation. You see, he sacrificed his comfortable life back in Britain, close to his family, to reconcile the Irish people to God. Sacrificed it all for reconciliation. Toward the end of his life, while he was still ministering in Ireland, was when he wrote this letter, this confessio, a confession of faith, a testimony of the greatness of God. And today we celebrate. We look at the calendar and it says St. Patrick's Day. It's March 17th. But approximately 460 AD was when he died. And in memory of him, whether they understand the real Patrick or not, people celebrate his memory. And the only reason, catch this, the only reason anyone can is because Patrick went back. Because he preached and taught and ministered to the people of Ireland. And they rightly referred to him as Patrick, patron saint of Ireland. I have a few questions as we wrap up today. Who are you standing in the gap for? Who do you want to be reconciled with one another? Who do you need to forgive? Patrick was useful, like Onesimus, and each of us have a calling to reach others for Christ. So one last question as we close. Who is God calling you to? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the heritage. We thank you for the history, the accurate history of St. Patrick. We know the legends sometimes overshadow the truth, but the truth is so much cooler. This man who had it all, safety and comfort and wealth, went back to the place of his captivity in order to reconcile those people to you. We thank you for Paul's example, trying to bring these two men together, because they are truly brothers in the Messiah. They are truly brothers in you. And so I pray that you would help us to be reconciled to each other, that you would help us to see who you are calling us to, that you would help us to see and to forgive those who you've called us to forgive. We love you this day. In your name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Go in peace.